Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. So today we have the honor of interviewing an extraordinary individual whose achievements span both the military and the athletic worlds. Riley Tejek is a dedicated U.S. Marine currently deployed at an undisclosed location, demonstrating her commitment to serving her country. In addition to her military service, Riley is also an elite bobsledder, training tirelessly to be in the 2026 Olympics. Her incredible journey of discipline, resilience, and excellent makes her a truly inspiring figure, and she tells us about her journey to where she is now. She talks all about the military, how she got into it, what it's like to be there. The fact that she's deployed, I can't tell you where she is, but I was shocked to see what her role is. I mean, she is such a senior person in what she does, and I'm just so impressed with her. And the fact that she started this athletic journey to be on the bobsled team late in life, it's not like she started this when she was younger, and she's made it all the way to Olympic level, is completely insane. I mean, I'm just so impressed with her. Also, at the end of the show, when we were off air, when she gets back to America, she's coming back, I think, in October, and she invited me to Utah to come watch her train, which I definitely am going to do, obviously, because that is super cool. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Riley and also realize and enjoy what a wonderful woman she is. Hi, everyone. It's Rachel Yucatel from the Misunderstood podcast, and I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Holistic Goddess. Holistic Goddess is a one-stop shop for all your holistic health needs. They offer a wide range of products from castor oil packs and collagen to natural bug spray. They do the hard work for us, checking ingredients and investigating where each product is made so you can focus on finding what works for you. Holistic Goddess brings on recognized brands weekly, often focusing on women-owned brands in North America. And they personally try all the products before adding them to the store. It's always exciting to see what new products they'll feature next. If you're looking for reliable health solutions that keep the unique needs of women in mind and cater to all ages and stages, definitely check out Holistic Goddess. And for 15% off, use code UNDERSTOOD. Go to www.holisticgoddess.com and again, use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off. Captain Tejek, it is such an honor to be in your presence today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Rachel, the feeling is mutual. Thank you.
So I'm like so in awe of you. I've been doing so much research about you. I just think you are like one of the coolest people I've gotten the chance to meet. So I am so excited for everybody to learn about you. First of all, I will say, and I know we can't talk about it, but you are deployed. We're not going to say where, but you are far away from this land. And I just, you know, what is that like to be away from your family for so long?
You know, Rachel, this is my first deployment, and it's something that I've always wanted when I decided to join the military several years ago. But it's always harder than you think. I struggle a little bit with not talking to my family as often as I can here. I normally talk to my family every single day. And not having the resources to celebrate their birthdays or attend weddings together and all that stuff takes a little bit of a toll on you. And then when you talk about people that serve and being away, you don't realize the little things that you miss and even the time difference that keeps you away that makes you miss them a lot.
So how long have you been away now?
About 2.5 months now.
So, and what is that like in terms of logistics? Do you guys get a cell phone? Are you allowed to call whenever you want? Is it like, is there Wi-Fi? Like, how does that work with being able to be in touch?
Yeah, thankfully we have a lot of new technology and stuff, and we're able to actually have our phones here and have Wi-Fi and stuff like that. So I am able to check in, obviously not as frequently as I would like, but we are a lot more connected than people in prior deployments.
Right. So you can read the news. You can do all that stuff.
Yes. Yeah. We are plugged into civilization.
Okay. So I just want to ask, because you are in the military, what, you know, obviously we had an assassination attempt on the former president and someone running to be the next president. What were the thoughts of the people around you? What were your thoughts about it?
Like anything, you hear something that's tragic that happens later in time. So by the time I found out, I was just waking up and you are just nervous. You hear that there was an assassination attempt, and like anybody that cares about people in general, you're shaken and you're worried. And then you're worried about what that means to our democracy. And is that going to impact some of the things that come up? One thing I will say serving our military, you know, is we take an oath to serve the Constitution, and whoever is our president is who is our commander in chief. And that's who we take orders by. I could speak for me. I want to see a fair and honest election. You know, the United States is built off democracy, and that's what we fight and defend, is our ability to vote, especially as women, right? We haven't always had that privilege and the ability to have a true, honest election. And so I'm just so thankful that that wasn't taken away, and that our nation can come together and realize that it's a privilege to be able to have an election. We want our best candidates for to have the best man or woman to win.
Right. I'm curious if there's a feeling that you guys in the military, you women in the military, have when you see that the assassination attempt was by an American as opposed to like somebody from a foreign country, a terrorist.
I think what people don't often realize is we feel a sense of security in the United States because we are the land of the free, but that doesn't mean that there's not threats everywhere. And yeah, it's our military's job, our police job, the first responders' job to make sure that everyone feels as safe as possible all the time. You know, it is sad in general to see people attack their own, but I think in society recently, we've seen that more and more is like-minded people attacking their own, so to say. And, you know, we have to be aware of that just as much as we are as outside terrorist groups coming in and threatening our freedom.
Right, right. Okay, so I want to talk about how you got into this place in your life that you're in the military. So let's talk about your childhood for a little bit. You have a family with a strong military background, right?
I actually do not. Oh. No, I was the first one really to really active duty join the military in my family.
Oh, wow. Okay. So where did you get the love for the military?
I'm going to have to say it's my father. So my dad was a professional baseball player. My mom is now a very successful businesswoman for a big pharmaceutical company, but my dad was my coach my whole life. I grew up playing softball, obviously with that baseball connection. And we adapted the military mindset and made a parallel between softball and war, which sounds silly, but a lot of people do, right? Football, we're going to battle, we're going to fight, and this, that, the other. So going at bats, it was me versus the pitcher. And we started studying military doctrine and attitude to have that mindset that made me mentally sharp against all my competitors. So it really started, Rachel, where my dad and I started watching the Navy SEAL Buds documentaries when it first came out. And we would see these sailors go in and try to see if they had what it takes to be in the SEALs. And my dad would let me stay up at night and we'd talk about it and people quitting and how to push through that. And little did he know, he was planting those seeds of me wanting to be in the military. But I'll be honest with you, Rachel, I never saw a female in the military my whole life growing up. So I never thought it was a possibility for me.
Right. And you were really into softball, right?
Yes.
Explain how good you were at that.
I'm blessed. I will say, I think my dad had a huge part of that, you know, a little bit of everything, right place, right time. But I was able to accept a Division I softball scholarship to George Washington University, you know, got my school paid for and played the game that I loved for an extra 4 years.
Amazing. Okay. So explain how you decided to take the opportunity to go into the military.
So I need you to picture this 18-year-old just left Indiana, moved to DC, right? Like finally on your own, that college kid, you're so excited to get ready and like start your life. And about two to three weeks in, you know, I'm walking around thinking I'm really cool, wearing my like softball clothes, right? I'm 18, hair flip, you know, whatever. And I meet a Marine recruiter kind of on accident. We're in a Panera of all places. And he just strikes a conversation with me, you know, like, oh, you're a softball player. I used to play baseball, 6'3", handsome man. And I'm like, uh-huh, like eating it up, right? And he was like, I would love to talk to you more about, you know, what I do in the military. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll meet you back here tomorrow. Like, sounds good. And
did you just think he was hitting on you, or did you think it was about the military?
I think I would like to think that he was hitting on me. He definitely wasn't at all. But my 18-year-old self would like to think so. But no, I knew it was more. I knew he had something to say, and I was really attracted, not physically, but attracted to the way he presented himself, the things that he said about service, about sacrifice, about being a leader, and about taking my physical fitness and applying that into life post-college. And so I sat down, I had that conversation with him, and I was sold. I remember within 3 weeks of being in college campus, I call my parents and I'm like, hey, mom and dad, I know, dad, you know, you've worked really hard with me to get to my softball scholarship. Mom, you helped me academically, but I'm not coming home this summer. I'm going to go to officer candidate school and see if I have what it takes to be a Marine. And my mom started crying.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that that's like a scary thing to think that your child could actually go into service and, you know, be deployed like you are now. I mean, I think that for a parent, it's a very frightening thing. But you talked to me a little bit off camera about what really your, you know, somebody that you really admired that really, you know, made you want to do this. Can you share that story?
Absolutely, Rachel. So again, growing up, my dad, my best friend, we were really into sports. And my dad would always wear an Arizona Cardinals jersey. And I would ask him, I'm like, dad, we live in Indiana. Why are you, you know, supporting Arizona Cardinals? And that's when he started telling me the story of Pat Tillman. And for those who may not know the story of Pat Tillman, the quick wave tap was he was a professional football player for the Arizona Cardinals, you know, making buttloads of money, performing, doing very well. And he decided post 9/11 to put his career aside, join the military, join the army, and deploy and go fight for our country and fight for our freedom. And unfortunately, he ended up passing away while he was serving and deploying. And it's a true story to me of honor and patriotism. And I love my country more than anything. I get to serve my country and I get to compete for my country. But before that, seeing what someone did, laying their life down, someone who achieved the life goal of making the NFL and taking a step back, not having an ego and saying, I'm going to do my part to fight for the freedoms that we have, is something that I've admired since I was a child and since my dad told me that story. And Pat Tillman is someone that I remember every single day. So when I had the opportunity to deploy and to put my training aside, it was a no-brainer to go out and do my part for my country and knowing that I'd still be able to compete and that will be waiting for me when I get back.
I love that. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I lost my fiance on September 11th. So I appreciate anyone who gives their life for, you know, and everything in their life for this country. So I really appreciate you. Okay. So talk to me about like a day in the life in the military as a female. What was that like at the beginning? That must have been super scary.
It was scary for the Marine Corps initially, because the Marine Corps is the hardest branch from a physical standpoint, emotional standpoint, and there's way more men than women compared to the other branches. So the Marines are very male dominant. And
explain the difference in all the different branches, just so that we know what we're talking about.
Yes. So Army, Navy, Air Force, the Marine Corps is a part of the Navy, but we count ourselves as a much different section with different standards as well.
Okay.
And so joining the Marine Corps at the time, there was roughly only 5% of officers were women, 5%. And so walking into that space was scary. Walking into that space of a very feminine woman was scary. I didn't know how I was going to shape, and I didn't want to lose my personality in the process. And so walking in there, I quickly saw how outnumbered I was compared to all the men, right? And you think of this yelling, screaming, you know, Marines are the first ones in, the last ones out. And I was so proud of my past. 8 years ago, I started the process of becoming a Marine. And my superpower in the Marine Corps, I truly believe, is being a woman and being able to be feminine in the uniform and offer something different to my Corps.
Wow. But so what do you think you offer that's different?
I've been told by several Marines, which is something that's like so special to me, is they feel like they finally have a leader that they feel comfortable with, to be open with. We're not actively in war like we used to be. And I've had several Marines, men, come up to me and, you know, say, ma'am, I'm struggling with suicide. I'm struggling with depression. I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm struggling being a new father and being like, I've never been able to tell someone that, but you've created a space that makes me feel comfortable. Some Marines haven't had a woman, like a mother figure or anything ever around. Some people left because they had no family life and structure, right? They're trying not to go to jail or the worst option. And so when you can give them a space where it's like, hey, I'm not someone that yells, I'm not a yeller, and I don't curse. I'm a strong Christian. I don't do that. I'm very bubbly. I'm very open. I'm very feminine. This is me. I can whip it on and I'll be a Marine and I'll knife hand you and tell you what you need to do to get the mission done. But I'm also a person that wants to like love you. And I think they were able to receive that. And it was something that was different. I'm not saying everyone loves it, but it's something that I can bring different and a different perspective that can make a difference in the lives of our young Marines.
Wow. So, okay, I want to know like the logistics. Like, how does that work? Do you guys have your own, is it called barracks?
Yes. So, yeah, you're onto it. So, Marines that are enlisted, so there's officer and then there's enlisted. So, I'm an officer. Generally, officers go through college and it's a separate system.
Enlisted. And sorry, did you have to quit George Washington to go to do this, or you could finish it or do it simultaneously?
Yeah, I did at the same time, which is crazy. Yes. So I was competing Division I softball and training for the Marine Corps. And then my summers that I had off, I was spending at Officer Candidate School, our boot camp, so that upon graduation, I could go straight away into the Marines.
And boot camp was just a physical boot camp, or was learning all of these different techniques?
Yes, for officers, it's everything. So I went a total of 12 weeks of learning leadership principles, academics, like studying Marine Corps history, but also the physical fitness, how to conduct and make orders and briefings and stuff like that.
Did it make you better at softball? Like, were you getting
so much better? So much better. I didn't realize the mental shift that it made of learning how to be selfless.
Yeah.
I've been on team sport my whole life, and the Marines taught you it's not about me, it's about the we. And that, learning that as an 18-year-old and taking that back and being able to apply that in college softball, we went from a losing program to winning our first conference title in 2019, my senior year. And to see that shift, I'm not saying we've had great talent, but being able to have that and see that growth and keeping that atmosphere alive in the team, I think made a difference.
Wow. Okay. So you become an officer, and then what now? Like, what happens when you become an officer?
Yes. So you become an officer and then you go to 7 months training. So the Marine Corps says, hey, you have to go to 7 months. Every Marine is a rifleman. So no matter what your follow-on job is, everyone will learn how to lead a platoon, like what you think of like infantry.
Okay. So fun.
Yeah.
So how do you decide what angle you want to go?
They decide for you, which is the funny part. So
what?
You're basically competing amongst your peers. So there's like 300 of us, and we're getting evaluated in all different categories for 7 months. We put in our wish list, but ultimately they evaluate us and decide and say, this is the job that you're going to get. And I ultimately got the job of logistics.
Okay. And what did you want?
I wanted intelligence, or I wanted public affairs. And I did not get those. And praise God I did it, because that led me to the bobsled. But at the time I was heartbroken.
Right. So, and what's the most popular one? Is it intelligence? I'm assuming that's one a lot.
People love intelligence. You know, it's like the sexy James Bond kind of stuff that everyone wants to do, but it all depends, right? We're very male dominated. So infantry is really big. A lot of men want to go into infantry. But intel is huge. People think it's a sexy squirrel stop, and rightfully so.
So, okay. And then up until now, did you notice at all you were treated different because you were a woman? I mean, I know you've talked about how it's been helpful and you really stand out, but was there a time or sometimes where you felt misunderstood, less than, picked on, you know, any of those things?
I would say, Rachel, honestly, 95% of the time it's been great, but there's been 5% of the time where I really struggled. And I'll just be honest with you. Like, I was told straight to my face that if I joined the military, especially the Marine Corps, or if I deployed or anything, that I would be raped and sexually assaulted immediately, that I wouldn't be taken. Yeah. I told I wouldn't be taken seriously as a female. And I've also been told I've only been given things because I'm a woman. And to that, again, for the 5% of it that has been negative, I've had 95% of it that's been incredible, that's been overly accepting, that's been people that have lifted me up and I felt like have been brothers and sisters in arms with me along the way.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Right. So I'm sure it's just about bad apples, like bad individuals that probably make a terrible attitude and take it out on you. But has there ever been a time where you felt, sexually harassed? And I guess, I mean, you're a gorgeous woman. I would think it happens every day, but.
Honestly, no. And I know that sounds crazy. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I took it upon myself to be a sexual assault victims advocate. So I went to school and training for the Marine Corps to speak out for men and women that are sexually assaulted. So I know it happens.
Yeah.
But for me, I have it. And I will say, I think a part of that is the Marine Corps gave me this leadership initiative and boldness, this kind of like boss lady shoulders back. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but if you're going to say something to me, I'm going to fire something right back at you. And good luck getting fired, because I'm not taking that. And right. I'm a strong woman, and I deserve to be here just as much as you do. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt when people say some of these comments, right? Like, you only got this way because you're a woman, or, you know, maybe someone will comment like on the way I look. And I'm like, I want you to take me seriously, not look at how I am. But I've quickly noticed in the military and in life in general, I'm like, if I'm so worried and consumed about what all of you think of me, I'm going to live an unhappy life. So I'm going to keep doing me, and y'all think whatever you want.
So, all right, now let's talk about the next just as interesting thing that you do. You are a bobsledder. Now talk about how your mission, I guess, is what led to that.
Yes, absolutely. My goal in life is to inspire as many people as I possibly can. And in particular, young women. Like I said, I never saw women succeed in these levels of male-dominated culture, such as the military, and honestly, such as professional sport. Women's professional sport existed, but right now it's booming. It wasn't booming as I was growing up. And I was like, I want to impact as many lives as possible by putting myself out there and seeing what I can do. And that's exactly what I decided to do. At the age of 22, I started the sport of bobsled, which I had never done before in my entire life.
Yeah, let's talk about bobsledding for one second, because quite frankly, I don't even know what it is. How do you learn how to do it? I've only seen it during... No one bobsleds besides in the Olympics, right? I mean, what is it? It's like elevated, sledding, right? I mean, what is that?
So Cool Runnings will be your best reference that most people do. But bobsledding, essentially, like dumbing it down, you're at the top of the hill, freezing temperatures. It's kind of like a water slide of ice, but you're steering and navigating, going 5 G's up to 90 miles an hour of a mile plus long track that has different variations of curves, and every single track around the world is different.
Okay. Wow. And is it a certain amount of time that you're doing it?
Yes. Yep. So there's going to be two total heats, and it's your combined time, and you want the lowest time.
Okay. But for the most part, what's the ballpark of how long it takes to get down?
About a minute.
Okay. So a minute. And you're obviously going in between seconds, milliseconds. Okay.
Yeah.
So how the hell did you get into this? And how do you even practice for something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to playing softball at George Washington, there was one jersey that we had retired. It was a woman named Alana Myers-Taylor. She played softball at GW, and then she's gone on to be in 5 Olympics for the sport of bobsled. So I knew her and knew of her. So in 2018, I was team captain. She won silver in Pyeongchang. She comes to George Washington to speak. I'm sitting there. I present her an award, and I hit my teammate next to me, and I'm like, in another life, I would be a bobsledder because I love like the grit, and I like love sprinting and lifting, and I want to be a professional athlete. But I told myself, I limited myself, which we do too often. I said, well, I have the military, so it'll never happen.
With her.
Little did I know it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time.
So how much training did you have to do to become one of the best?
So to be honest with you, Rachel, I didn't start training until years later. So I had to get through the military schools and everything like that. I got through the military schools. I went through my logistics school. I got stationed in sunny San Diego in California. And then it was COVID. And where most people took COVID and retreated, I was like, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to get better and to expand and flourish and make something of myself. So I saw that a bobsled was having a tryout, and instead of it being in person, it was online. I was like, well, this is it. I might as well have something to train for. I noticed after I got to the military, I was like, I lost a goal to keep working towards. I had hit all my goals, and I was like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to throw myself in there. So I started just strength training again. I submitted a video. I picked up that phone. I called the coach, and I was like, hey, coach, you have no idea who I am, but you're going to. Here's who I am, and I plan on submitting a video, and you should check it out. I don't know what came over me when I said that, but when I did that, they ended up seeing it, and they just invited me out. So that's what we do. We take athletes from power and explosive and speed sports, track, football, lacrosse, softball. We even had volleyball. And we try to see if we can make them into this power, explosive athlete of bobsled.
Okay, so they obviously have to get over the fear of being in this little thing and going around the curves and going super fast. But you're saying that it is a sport that can, the athletic ability, you know, the body and the speed can be something that it can, you can kind of call in anyone. It's not necessarily they have to be doing bobsledding since they were 4 years old.
Exactly. And you won't see someone really doing bobsled since you're 4 years old because of the G-forces and the pressure. And So majority of the time people get into it later than life. So almost all of our athletes are former Division I or professional athletes that switch over and come and are able to excel. The only difference is for my position, I'm a pilot, so I'm driving it. And that skill takes a lot longer to build. So they say it takes between 6 to 8 years to be really good in that pilot position. But the back position, what we call a brakeman, you can, we've had Keisha Love make the Olympic team in just 2 years and make the Olympics and perform really, really well.
So guys, it's not too late. You can, if you work out, you could get involved in bobsledding. This is very exciting. Okay, well, wait a minute. So this will be very fun now to watch in 2026, because now I'm going to ask you all these questions so we know what we're actually watching. So where do you get, like, do you know from the second you jump in the little cart that you're going to win or lose based on if you screwed it up at the beginning?
Not necessarily. So the start is huge. We say the start of the race is about, is literally 50% of it, and it's only 30 meters of the mile long track, right?
And that's where all your strength and speed comes, right? That's where you need it? Okay.
Yeah. That's where it's a 400 plus pound sled on ice.
What?
Yes. And you have 30 to 40 meters to hit that thing and sprint and have that velocity fly as fast as you can, because something that starts quicker is going to drop and go quicker. However, you have in a mile plus long track to not hit walls and to drive and navigate when we're talking about hundreds of a second here. So just because you have a good start, you should be in a good spot, but it doesn't mean that you can't lose it and bleed time the whole track.
Okay. And as the pilot, so it's just you and one other person behind you. I believe that in women's, it's only two. And then there's a solo also?
Yes. Yes.
I know one thing.
You're learning. Yeah.
So have you ever done solo or you're in the twosome?
I do both.
Okay. All right. And you're going to try and qualify for the Olympics for both. Can you do both?
Yes. Actually, every single woman does both. So we're expected to be able to do both. And then men have two and four.
So do you have a pilot in both scenarios then? Like the women would have to train always to be a pilot? How does that work?
Yes. So when I train, I do mono, the one person, and that's just me. And then the next day for competition, it's two women. So it's me and my brakeman. So the opportunities are higher for pilots, but it takes a lot more of you. It takes longer in your skill set. So it kind of depends on how long you want to be in, what your commitment level is and stuff like that.
But I'm asking like the brakeman in the back, will they also know how to pilot when they're by themselves?
No, they're never by themselves.
Got it. Okay. So you're the only person that can do both, the pilot.
Yes. Yeah.
And I assume you're anticipating all the twists and turns and you don't want to go up too high and you want to stay in the middle. Am I right there?
Yes, you're onto it. You're onto it. So exactly. I have two D rings that are pulling two ropes that are rotating this front axle to be able to get up and off on curves. And just like you said, the worst thing I can do is get up too high and the curve ends and I end up straight on my head. And that has happened way more times than I would like to admit.
Right. And that happened in something important to you, right? Tell me about that.
Yes. So this past season, I competed in world championships. So oftentimes people don't realize like sports that aren't just Olympic sports actually happen every single year. So every year, bobsled has a world championships besides for our fourth year, because that's the Olympics. It's almost the exact same format. This past year, I was able to qualify that third USA sled, fly my parents out to Germany. They've never been there before to watch me compete in world championships. And unfortunately, it was so tough. I went down in history as the only pilot to compete in world championships and crash all four heats of my race. It was devastating. Was one of the hardest things. Yeah, I've ever done is I'm on TV. I have all these people, my family, my friends. I've raised all this money, my sponsors, supporters. I'm out here trying to represent my country to the best of my ability. And I keep crashing and making a mistake. But I got in every single time. I kept fighting. My teammates kept believing in me. My one brakeman got injured after day one. So I had to swap her out, have someone else come in, crash them, end up injuring myself, my gear, my helmet. But we competed. We ended up finishing 20 out of 25 on our head, but we still did it. And the amount of grit that taught me, sometimes you're like, why do bad things happen? More times I like to admit, and as athletes, and as people think we're superheroes and we're not immune to mistakes, not everyone's the Tom Brady, but.
Right. Yeah. But no, I would think that that's actually maybe a great way for you to learn for the Olympics, like what not to do. And I'm curious, did you keep crashing the same part every time or it was all in different tracks?
So yes, three of my four crashes were in that very last curve. So I'm literally about to cross the finish line and I'm just crashing. So it's like, I'm getting punished after doing almost everything like right. And I just was not able to get it and figure it out. And I tried different things. I had coaches. I had the whole nation of Germany, like cheering for me, like you can do this. And wasn't able to finish. And on the last one, I crashed the curve right before. So it was rough. But to walk away from that experience, I swear I was like depressed for 2 days. And I was like, how am I going to get through this? But just like you said, there's always a story that can be taught, a lesson that can be learned, someone to inspire and say, yeah, I failed too. I failed on national television in front of my friends, family. And I kept going. And as I kept going, like you can too.
Well, I'm sure you, like you said, created a huge fan base. So now everyone will be watching you. and everyone was then too. Wait, I'm curious, before you do the actual runs, do you get to do a couple trials so you get a feeling of the track?
Mm-hmm. So in World Championships, it's a little bit different than our regular season races, but generally you'll have one day of practice for the mono, one day of practice for the two women, and then you'll have the monobob race, two woman race. So it's boom, boom, boom.
Did you crash on the test days?
Some of them, not all of them. It was that last corner was getting me, but I had successful races because you have to qualify. I had successful runs where it was no problem. And sometimes it just happens like that.
Okay. I have one more stupid question, but I want to know the answer. How do you pick your jockey or your teammate? I mean, are you just like, hey, do you want to do this with me? Or like, do you get paired up? How does that work?
Yeah. So there's a lot that goes into it. One thing just for people to think about is weight. So you and your partner collectively have to be below a certain weight to be within standards. So that gets taken into it. Number two, it also like ranking. So just as the pilots are ranked, like you say, 1, 2, 3, 4, so are a brake woman, right? You have your best, next. So my coaches actually are the ones who make the race pairings. There's a selection committee. There's a lot that goes into it. They base it off of strengths, weaknesses, weight is a big one, power. So there's a lot, but we also rotate. So I could be with one teammate one day and the next teammate the next race. And then that teammate could be with someone else. So they're very fluid for the United States program. Not every country is set up that way. That's just how we do it here.
Okay. So now what is the training like going into the Olympics in 2026? Where will those Winter Olympics be?
It will be in Milan, Italy, which is awesome. And it's very interesting because that track is not up right now. So it's still being built. So there's no advantage of anyone being on it at this current time. So it's going to be a brand new track for every single driver that's going to be on it in 2026.
Okay. And who are the people to watch?
Yes. So Team USA is like in history, like the best in that monobob competition, the one person. It first appeared in 2022 and the United States won gold and silver, which is awesome. Yeah. So I would say definitely watch for those two teammates. Alana Myers-Taylor, the one who got me involved in the sport. She's still competing. She's 38, 39. She's a mom of two now, still going. Then Kaylee Humphreys. She now just had a baby, but she's 38, 39, still competing. She won gold in that event for monobob for the first time. Almost one of the most decorated bobsledders in the world. So those two athletes are on Team USA. So two of the best athletes in the world. And then another one to really look out for is my best friend. Her name's Keisha Love. She was an Olympian as a brakeman for Kaylee and then went to the pilot seat. And then this past season, her very first World Cup race she won. So Team USA is stacked. We're killing it.
Now, I've always been curious about teams for the Olympics. How do they get funding?
So, Rachel, this is something that is a sensitive topic for a lot of us. Team USA athletes are not funded by our government. Actually, every other nation is funded and they're like paid employees from our government. United States is completely privately itself funded. So the sport of bobsled, a lot of people haven't heard about it. Majority of us athletes have to self-fund our whole journey through this.
Wow. Like pay out of pocket to train,
yes,
to get your clothes, whatever.
Everything.
And so what, can I ask what you have had to do to get your funding? First of all, how expensive is it?
So last season cost me around $50,000. Yeah. And you might be like, real quick, why? The sleds are expensive. You have to ship them from the United States to Europe and back. You stay in the most expensive ski resorts like St. Moritz, Switzerland, or the Austrian or French Alps. You have to physically transport your sled in that country. So you have to get a massive sled truck. We have to have our own tools and equipment and helmets and spikes and very like specific equipment that you can't just up and buy anywhere. So the expenses are extremely high. I've been able to go ahead.
No, I'll just quickly, are there famous companies building these bobsleds? Like, does Ferrari make one? I mean, I don't know how that works.
They should. BMW is a really big name one that has made one. Bodines. And now we're starting to continue to innovate to see what's the best for aerodynamics to get that hundredth of a second advantage.
But do you guys on the team, you guys all have similar ones, or you pick whatever you want?
Well, there's definitely kinds that are a lot nicer and newer. So the United States, like all of us, like BMWs, we're like the big one. And now USA is actually trying to make our own brand with Devo Tech. So yeah, we're innovating and trying to come up with the next latest and greatest right now.
Got it. Okay, I interrupted you. So go back to telling me how you funded that.
Yes. So I have to work full time. So being a Marine, a lot of my salary, I put a little bit of it to the side to be able to do that. And then I've had to rely heavily on sponsorships. So I've had to, you know, buy myself, pitch myself to companies and let them know and tell them about this dream that I've had. You know, us athletes have had to be so desperate that we've had to make GoFundMes and ask friends and family to be able to support us to get our foot in the door. Team USA has the money and resources, but not all the time and not for everybody. Not everyone's USA Gymnastics and swimming, right? That has all the money. Of smaller sports, we don't drive in revenue. So it's up to us athletes. And there's a massive financial barrier to compete in the sport. So everything I try to do is also get my story out there to let people know that athletes are struggling. And if anyone's able to help, you know, please like allow us to pitch what we do and what we think we're capable of. Because I tell you, Rachel, we do not do this sport for money, fame, and glory. To be honest, no one knows the sport of bobsled. We lose money doing it, and we get injured more often times than not, but we do it because we love it, and we do it because we love representing the United States.
That's so amazing. All right, how long do you plan on being on the military?
So I've been active duty for 5.5 years. I do really bad want to be a mom, and I have higher career goals that I have, some up and coming potentially. And so I see myself transitioning here probably in the next couple of years, but staying in the reservist. So going from active duty to reservist. So once a month, a couple times on the weekend, I can get activated if I want to, but hold on to that Marine title, lead and inspire women and Marines all around the world. But I also have some other dreams and goals that I think I wanted to tap into, and also have a family where I'm not up and moving every 2 years.
So what happens to you if you are deployed right before the Olympics? What will you choose?
I've had to have that conversation with myself, and I would absolutely choose my job in the military every day. I took an oath, so I put my hand up willingly, and I swore to fight and defend for my country. And if it has to come between the Olympics and service, I'm going to choose service every time. And a lot of people have words to say about that, but that's what's in my heart. And serving my country is my priority in protecting our freedom. And if that means forgoing the Olympics, then that's what that means.
Riley, you're such a good person. Okay, tell me about love in the military. Have you found anybody that you, first of all, how hard is it to date in the military?
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tricky. When you're up and moving so frequently, it's hard to ever put your roots down anywhere. I mean, you're up and you're moving, and even friends, right? And so you oftentimes find yourself dating other people in the military because that's how it works. So
are there rules against it, or can you date? What are the rules?
Yes, there's definitely rules. So I told you a little bit about officer enlisted. Mm-hmm. You can't mix fraternization. And then within your ranks, it's basically seen as like one up, one down. So I'm a captain, so major or lieutenant, but I couldn't do major, lieutenant, colonel. There's a big gap anyways, but you know, you would have to be separated. And then not people that like you work with or in your chain of command, we call it. So basic stuff that you would see in like the workplace too. But the big one is the officer and enlisted. You don't mix that. And I was previously married for several years to another Marine. We went through officer camp school, everything together. I loved him more than anything in my entire life. And after several years, I found out that he had been cheating on me with other women, broke my heart. And I had to restart my whole life.
While he was deployed or?
Yes. And coming back. So that was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through, is finding out, you know, someone was unfaithful to you. And I had to make a decision and I decided to step away. You know, really strong Christian, really strong values, but I couldn't stay in that place. It broke me. I felt like I lost everything. But within a year later, I've had some of my most greatest accomplishments. And I feel like I am me. And I fought and I worked hard for that. And I'm not going to be ashamed of that. For a year, I didn't want to tell anyone that I was divorced. I was ashamed. I felt like I was broken. You know, Rachel, to be honest with you, as a woman, just being completely honest with you, I would look at myself in the mirror and be like, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be good enough for somebody. And it trickled into sport. It trickled into everything, which I know sounds crazy, but it happened to me. And then I'm competing in my first world championships. I lost 20 pounds. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I found myself constantly comparing myself to other people, right? Because why was I not good enough? And it took me a long time of healing to get to where I am now to, you know, push those negative thoughts out and be like, I am worthy. I am good enough. I am enough. And here's why. And shift that mindset. But I know that there's other females struggling going through that. So I just really quickly want to say, like, you're not alone. And I'm here to help and be a resource for anyone that needs it.
Yeah. And I hope you learned that whatever he did had nothing to do with you. It had to do with his own self-esteem and his own issues, because obviously you are more than worthy. So I'm so sorry that you had to go through it, but it seems like you've come out the other side, learned some lessons, and now you're in an amazing relationship, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm the happiest I could have ever been. You know, not very many times do people get a second chance at love and get a start over again. And I've been able to find someone that I love more than anything I could ever describe in my life. And it's so awesome and wonderful to share that and have that partner that wants to grow and wants to be with you and is so supportive of everything you do. And for all the men out there, it's not easy to like be with boss alpha women, right? And like the ones that can, that are confident and secure in themselves, like, thank you. You're a gift, and keep being awesome and supporting your women, because women are meant to go and do their thing no matter what that is.
So how does it work? Are you guys allowed to show affection? Are you guys allowed to live in the same dorm? I don't know what you call it.
Yeah. He's also in the military, but there's obviously like rules and stuff. So he's not here or anything right now, but we're able to like grow and support each other, like in our roles. We'll never be like a conflict of interest and stuff based on our jobs and like where we are, but we're able to understand like what the job requires of us and like speak that language of like deployment, for example, and know how hard that is on each other. But it's great to be in love. You're like I'm like a little kid again.
I know. I love it. I can see it in your face. So, is he in the same area that you are, or you guys have to have a long distance relationship right now?
Yeah, we have a long distance relationship right now, but we will be back soon. As soon as I get back from deployment, he's going to be moving in and we're going to keep going forward in our relationship. So I'm really excited.
That's amazing. And then how does that, I'm just curious of logistics again, because this whole thing is foreign to me. Do you guys live on like a military base and they provide you guys housing?
So we could, you have an option because I'm an officer. I can live on base like you're thinking, and they provide housing, or you have what's called basic allowance for housing, BAH, and they pay you based off of the average income in your area. And you get to have that money and spend all of it, spend only a little bit of it, and buy your place. So I personally bought my first home again, post-divorce. I'm a homeowner, which I was, you know, praise God. It was awesome. Well, it's a condo. It's a one bedroom, but it's mine. Yes. And I was able to buy that off base and have that, and then drive back and forth to work where I live in DC.
Oh my God, I love that. This is so exciting for you. Okay. What can we expect from you in the future? How could people support you? I want to hear all about what you're looking forward to.
So I have one really big project that I'm really excited to share that I haven't talked too much about, but I wrote a children's book several months ago, and I had to postpone it coming out due to the deployment, but it should be out around January, February. And it's a book specifically for young women. And I'm not going to say any more because I don't want to spoil it. But when that comes out, my goal and a dream that I have is to be able to get that into as many schools as possible and get it into as many hands as I possibly can of children. I think it's a message that they want to hear for sure. So that's definitely something. I have a couple other things I have under my belt, but definitely supporting this upcoming season. I'll start competing this November all across the United States and in Europe. And then again, the easiest thing to do is follow on Instagram. I have some goals and dreams and stuff that I'm working on. So stay tuned. What's next? I'm full of surprises. Bobsled military author, pageant winner. So some couple of things are coming up for sure.
Oh yeah. Wait, quickly tell me about, you won Miss Military, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean? I mean, obviously we could see that you could win Miss Military because you're so gorgeous, but it doesn't have anything to do with looks, right?
No, it actually was really centered on what you're doing for your veteran community. And that's what I loved about it. I had never been in a pageant my entire life, let me tell you. And it was something that someone asked me to do it. I was so nervous, but again, I decided to be bold. Why not put myself out there? What do I have to lose? It's going to be a fun experience. I got my first ever spray tan. It was awesome.
And so you do have to walk around in outfits and stuff.
So yeah, we did wear a gown and that was awesome. I loved, you know, you love feeling like a beautiful princess, right? But it was really centered on what are you doing for your veteran community? Asking questions about DOD and policy and stuff like that. And then you obviously have a talent. And so my talent was bobsled, which was pretty awesome. I got to come in and like be in my race suit and show them a video of me competing in Europe. But I got to talk about the work that we do for veterans and nonprofits. A nonprofit I partner with is Children's Stripes and what we do to give back to veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder and bringing them and their families to be able to give them that holistic approach to bring them back, integrated into community. And to highlight that was so, so important. So I ended up winning. I couldn't believe it. And it was awesome.
I'm curious what some of the other talents were. I mean, these girls must have been like, oh God, Riley, come on.
They definitely were. They were like, are you serious? Like bobsled? And I'm like, yeah.
Well, they're like twirling a baton or some stupid thing.
Yeah. I mean, one of them was beautiful. She writes poems. And one of them wrote just like this beautiful like poem out to like veterans and people, right? And it like made people like emotional because it was so true. And one guy was a filmmaker. Like he actually like was in cinematography and stuff like that. So like legit talents that came out of our veteran and active duty community, which I was so impressed with. But I do think I had a leg up on most people with bops that I won't lie.
Probably. Okay. Tell me about what's an IncrediWear athlete?
Yes. So IncrediWear is a brand that that sponsors me, that stepped up to the plate, that is allowing me to compete, which I love. They are a company that's focused on recovery, either from injuries or just in general. So it's all about compression. So they have all different kinds of compression sleeves or legs or anything like that. And it promotes recovery. So for me, I'm in bobsled. I get banged up and beat around all the time. So you'll catch me in my recovery pants at night where I get elbow bruises all the time. So I'll wear a full arm sleeve, kind of like you see basketball players do. And stuff like that. And that's what keeps me in the fight, that keeps me going and competing, because I notice a 50% faster recovery based off of the results from that company than not having anything at all.
Right. Riley, you are so amazing. I'm just in awe. I'm so proud to know you. Honestly, I wish you the best of luck. Please remind people where they can find you, what your Instagram is.
Yes. My Instagram is my first name, riley.ejack. It's the first one. There's like a million fake accounts, so don't follow that. And then I'm only on Instagram and recently LinkedIn. So any TikTok, Facebook, anything, it's all fake. So please be careful of that.
On your account, do you read your DMs if people want to reach out to you?
I read every single one, Rachel. And my favorite is to get ones from young men and women that want to join the military. And they're like, I don't think you'll see this. And I'm like, I absolutely will. And I actually oftentimes give my phone number, set up a call, and want to be a mentor. It's not about me. It's about helping the next generation and bringing them forward. This journey isn't for me. It's to widen the path so I can bring as many people as possible alongside with me.
And what would you say to those people listening that have been on the fence about wanting to get involved in something like this?
I would say stop stopping yourself from an opportunity to achieve greatness. Greatness is waiting, and greatness is waiting in front of you. And too many times we let fear cripple us and stop us from achieving greatness. And if you want to be great, you have to be bold. You have to be willing to accept failure. But all failure is one closed door that leads you to the door that's open. Put yourself out there, take a chance, and absolutely bet on yourself, because if you don't bet on yourself, no one else will.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with you. All right. When do you find out if you've made the Olympics? Is it January of 2026?
Yes. So the month prior, they named the Olympic team. Like I said, there's only 3 spots for USA women. There is 7 of us competing for those 3 spots, 2 of which are 5-time Olympic champions and, you know, other Olympians alongside that. So it's going to be tough. I'm going to give it everything I have, and the rest is going to be in God's hands.
Oh my God. I wish you the best of luck. God bless you. I know we are going to see you at the Olympics, and I will be watching.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Understood.